Yeah. The last thing we talked about is the noise, you know, the noise factor. We didn't explain that at all.
I have a note here from last week.
Just a note, a small note on the noise. The one makes a kava kaima that the act which brings about conception is done in private without a lot of fanfare, without a lot of publicity, without a lot of noise. When the baby's born, there's a lot of noise. So Kal v'chaimer, that when they bury a person, there's a lot of noise. So Kal v'chaimer b'tchiyas ha'meisa. Even though you get out of, I mean, just one small note. Noise here, you know, kol. I mean, we need the Gemara to tell us that the baby cries when he's born. And we need the Gemara to tell us that people cry louder by funeral than a baby cries when he's born. And then when somebody who comes back with Tchiyas HaMeisa, there's going to be a lot of noise. Like, there's no point to such a thing. It's pointless. And that's not what the Gemara means. In Chazal, I'm just giving you like a site in Chazal. When Chazal used the word kol, unless it obviously means noise, it usually means that it the thing that you're talking about extends itself and makes you take notice of it, and that it, you know, it intrudes on your reality, just like a noise. You're sitting, you're really quiet, you're meditating and all that, and somebody makes a noise, so it's something which projects itself into you.
The whole world's going to know that it's happening.
That is a byproduct, that the whole world knows that it's happening. But when you say that something makes a noise, so that, you know, that's like a simon, that's a sign, that's a byproduct to the chashivas, to it being multifaceted. It makes a lot of noise because it's a presence. That's, you know, something's a presence. The Gemara talks about kol ha'minas ha'raymi, the sound of the minions of Rome. That, you know, it blocks out the sound that the sun makes. You know, like they compete against each other. Who's going to make more noise? We're not talking about noise. We're talking about the presence, shouting its presence, you know, announcing its presence. That's the noise. And that's the noise of our Gemara. You know, the Gemara says, Kala neda nana misudas chasim v'kala, ve'ena misamcha, someone that benefits from the suda, from the wedding feast of a chasim v'kala, ve'ena misamcha, it's a misamechim, over v'chamisha kailos. He passes by five noises. What does it mean to pass by five noises? When you go to the wedding, you eat by the wedding, you have the smorgasbord there, by the wedding you have the little hot dogs and blankets and the meatballs and the tongue and the, you know, the little melon balls. And then you're passing by five noises. We're talking about the band, it's a five-piece band. You're passing by. So it doesn't mean noises, it means that there's five things that are generated by a chasna. There's five positive things that are being generated in a chasna, that you could gain from in a chasna. There's five different things that their presence comes and, you know, you gain from such a thing. And if you're not mesameach the chasna makala, then you miss the boat. You don't come up, you come away from the wedding not having gained anything. You miss the chasna, they give names to it. So here, we're saying that when you know, the act of conception is done without its presence being announced. Secretive, it's quiet, it's modest, it's under wraps. And look what comes out of it. What comes out of this secret, private, undercover act of conception? A baby. When we talk about the kol of the baby, We're not talking about the wailing of the baby when he's born. The call of the baby is this wondrous creature called the baby. I mean, Gitteldina, it's like amazing. I mean, Gitteldina is amazing. You could just, there's so much to a baby. What they, you know, what their makeup is and what they do. And, you know, well, babies, they do a lot the whole day. They're exhausted. They do an awful lot the whole day. They're in constant motion. I don't mean this facetiously. They're exploring, you know, a baby. That makes tremendous call. A baby is a presence that makes a call. Now, what do you do with the baby? I mean, you wait for the baby to get a little bigger until it's like 70, 80 years old. You take the baby. When the baby gets older, 120-year-old baby, because that's what it is, because the 120-year-old is from the baby. It's the same person. And then you take the baby and you put it in the ground. Now, why do people make a noise at a funeral? They're wailing, they're lamenting, and they have eulogize the baby. Why do they eulogize the baby? Because look at what this baby accomplished in 120 years. And this baby that, you know, just when he was 1 day old, when he was 1 minute old, it's so complex, it's so fascinating. This is a presence. And then after 120 years, it's even more because all these potentials came out. All the potentials came out. So as a person gets older and the potential comes out, there's more noise, more call. And then when they put the person on the ground, people cry and they make noise. Why? Because of all the godless, the greatness that we don't have anymore. Right? So then imagine how great the Adam is going to be by Tchias Amesim. The point of this Gemara is to show us that Kadosh Baruch Hu has a pattern. You have something small, on a small scale. That's the planting. The planting stage is always on a small scale. You plant a seed. How big is an apple seed? How exciting is an apple seed?
Not very.
Could you have a good time with an apple seed?
You'd be surprised.
No.
Did you ever hang out with an apple seed? Did an apple seed ever tell you a good joke? Did he help you with your homework? Like, what's an apple seed? And then what do you do with it? And this, you put it in the dirt, and you hide it, and nobody can see the apple seed. So anybody that had a good relationship with an apple seed, can no longer relate to it because he's in the dirt. And what comes out of it? A tree. And the tree has life, beauty, and grace, and its imposing height, and its succulent fruits, and sweetness. And you know what else? In the fruits is more apple seeds! And in every single one of those, eternity in an apple seed. That's noise. So we see a pattern. When a husband, together with his wife, bringing a shaman to this world, his husband's planting. It's called Zera. Zera is a seed. He's planting. The woman is called Karka Olam. We learned him against Esther. Esther had relations with Achashverosh, but it wasn't Esther because she just passive. The Gemara's word for passivity is Karka Olam. She's the ground of the world. Ground sits there. Ground spreads. Ground doesn't do anything. So a woman that's taken forcibly by a man is called Karka Olam. She's called the ground of the world. The Gemara could have used another word to express that. It calls her ground. Virgin territory. You ever heard of virgin territory? Unexplored virgin territory. You ever heard of virgin territory? Do you know what that's called? You know that the term is in Babasra? Do you know what it's called in Babasra? It means ground that was never plowed, you know? Karka Basula. Ground that's a basula, it's a virgin. So a woman is called Karka. And Karka is called a basula. And you take a drop, which is called a zera, a seed. And you plant it in a karka, and a tremendous tree grows, a baby, which grows out to be an old man with a long beard. and he has seeds inside him, because he can get married, and he can put his seeds inside of another karka, eternity. And then you take this and you plant it in the ground, literally. You bury him in the ground. So the Gemara is saying we don't know what the Adam is going to be after Tchias HaMeisim. We don't know. But we can just imagine that it's like nothing we've ever seen. It's going to be a similar relationship between a drop and a baby, which is a wide chasm and gulf in between. So when you plant the baby, imagine what that's going to be by Tchias HaMeisim. That's the point of the Gemara. Sorry? It's called Lovaita Baisai. Understand? You got it? Got it. And then just retroactively, if you remember the Gemara, we learned the Gemara on Tzadik HaMabez that Cleopatra wanted to know if people are going to come up with their clothes on. Yeah. She wasn't asking Reb Meir if they're going to be wearing Giorgio Armani outfits when they come up. If you bury them in a designer shroud, are they going to come up with their shrouds or not? She was saying, I know there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim, but she wants to know what form Tchias HaMeisim is going to be. Is it going to be something totally unfamiliar, or it's going to be a similar relationship between a guf and a neshama? She wasn't referring to clothing. She called the guf clothing. By Tchias HaMeisim, is it just going to be a neshama, or it's going to be a... And Reb Meir said, a kal v'chomer mechita. It's going to be like a weed. You put in a little wheat seed, and then it grows. It's layers upon layers upon layers. That the layers that are going to be in Tchias HaMeisim are going to be many and wondrous and multiples like nothing we've ever seen. So that was this aside that she was trying to, Kavaita, Rabbeisa, Rabbeisa, Kavaita. Tanan of Elio. Tzadikim, Shasana Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Achyeisam. The tzaddikim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the future, it's their destiny that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring them alive. Remember, we had arrived from the Gemara before that there's two Tchias HaMeisim. And the way it works is like this. There's 2,000 years, the first 2,000 years of the world, there was no form. It was up for grabs. It wasn't clear. Who's going to carry the torch? Then there's 2,000 years where it was clear that the Mekabli HaTaira are going to carry the torch. And that's the value system, Taira. And then there's 2,000 years where the world is going towards redemption. It's called Yemaisa Mashiach. So that brings us to the year 6,000. After the year 6,000, there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim. Tchias HaMeisim is at the end of Yemei HaMashiach. But there's going to be an earlier Tchias HaMeisim. There's going to be some tzaddikim. Hashem will grant them Tchias HaMeisim even the times of Mashiach. Huh?
Like we said before,
A plus. A plus, like just like Aaron. Aaron is going to be there because we're going to give him truma.
We're going to have mitzvahs after the first one.
They're going to come out of the ground.
After the second one.
Right. So this Gemara, Rashi, this Gemara is talking about the early stage of Tchias HaMeisim. Oysen tzaddikim, those tzaddikim. Sha'asna kadosh baruch hu l'achyeisam. Hashem's going to bring them alive at an early stage. So Gemara wants to know what's going to happen to them when everybody else comes back to life. Are they going to have to go through Tchias HaMeisim twice? Because let's say in the year 5,747, Aaron HaKohen comes back. Mashiach comes, Aaron HaKohen comes back. Why was this year? Because that this year. And then in the year 6,000, the entire world comes back. Is Aaron going to have to die and come back again to join the club, That's the Gemara Shaila. Tzadik, tell him the Veliyah. Tzaddikim, Shasta the Kodesh Baruch Hu Achiyesu, the Tzaddikim. It was learned in the Yeshiva of Eliyahu HaNavi. Dear Yeshiva. The Tzaddikim, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is going to bring back to life. Ein Chayzel Na'afman. They are not going to die again and come back to life. This is, you know, once Hashem brings them back to life, they stay alive forever. Everyone else will die and come back to life, but not the Tzaddikim. Shenema. Why Anisha B'tzion? There's going to be a remnant in Zion. But nice to be Yerushalayim, and those that are left over in Jerusalem, Kadosh Yamalai. We're going to say about them that they're Kadosh. The remnant is Kadosh. Kala Kasam Lechayim Yerushalayim. Anyone that's written for life in Yerushalayim, it's inscribed for life in Yerushalayim. So we're talking about the remnant. We're calling them Kadosh. And we're saying they're going to be inscribed for life. Those three things. Ma Kadosh Le'olam Kayim. Something which is described by the Torah as Kadosh never ends. Kedusha never ends. Avheim Le'olam Kayamim. They're also Kayim. So Gemara is saying that someone that's brought back to life is Kadosh, and if he's Kadosh, he'll live forever. That's the equation.
So Yonah is still alive?
Do you mean the one that Yonah brought to life? Oh, Yonah was brought to life. Yeah. In a sense. Remember we said when we learned Sefer Yonah, that Yonah kept dying and coming back to life. Yeah, in a sense. I mean, we don't have contact with him. But in a sense, yes. Once someone has been brought back to life through Tchias and Mason, so he doesn't die. What did you say?
Died and came back to life?
Yeah, died and came back to life.
Is he in Gan Eden?
I don't know where he is. Yeah, these things are very, very... complex. There's a lot of factors. And it doesn't make a difference anyway, because we don't know what they mean. Yaakov Avinu is alive. Yishai is alive. Eliyahu HaNavi is alive. But they're not all alive in the same way. Okay? They're not. I mean, of all of them, Eliyahu is the only one that we can relate to because he can come back with his group to this world. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is alive. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is alive. He used to come home and make Kiddush. He'd come home and make Kiddush. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon used to answer Shilas after he died. He was lying in the attic. So yes, Yain is alive, but you can ask me in what way he's alive, I have no idea. I can just tell you why he's still alive. It's because he was brought to life, it's Kiyas Mason. And someone that's alive can't die. Things only appear as if they die in this world. But Kiyas Mason transcends the appearance, you know. When a Navi brings back someone to life in this world, he's taking a future kayak. He's taking a kayak from the future and bringing it to the present in order to be Mechaya the person. Which is not a pasha thing to do. The timer, Eisen Shanim Shatzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chadosh Ben HaSalamai. Now we're getting to the 7th millennium. First 2,000 years is formless, second 2,000 years is Torah, third 2,000 years is Mashiach. Then it's Chiyas HaMeisim. What's after that? Nothing? What happens? Aysen Shanim, there's years Sha'asad HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chadosh Ben HaSalamai. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to renew the world. It's going to renew the world. That's a Gemara also. The Gemara is right there. The Gemara is on top Tzadik Zayin Amel. Amar of Katina. Rav Katina says, Shis Al Bishni Havi Amar. 6,000 years is the world, as we know it. When the Gemara says Haviyam, it means our world. The Chad Karuv. In 1,000 years, it will be in total destruction, as we know it. There's a period of 1,000 years that follows 6,000 years of world history, that the world as we know it will cease to exist. Shinamar, the Torah says, V'nitzke v'ashem levada b'yemahu. Kadosh Baruch Hu will remain alone on that day. And we know from other Gemaras, Gemara says, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, Ki elef shana b'enecha ki yem esmol. 1,000 years in the eyes of God is like a day. So you make an equation. If it says V'nitzke v'ashem levada, God will be alone b'yemahu on that day, and a day in God's lexicon is 1,000 years, so that means 1,000 years the world is going to be destroyed, that only Hashem will be there. Only Hashem and nothing else.
Where will we be?
That's the Gemara's kasha. Abayi Amitrechar. Abayi says that the world is going to be destroyed for 2,000 years. Shenema Yechayena Meyamayim. We're going to be brought back to life after 2 days. 2 days? Is equivalent to 2,000 years. So Katina and Abaye, they both agree that the world is going to be in a state of desolation, as we know it, for a period of time, either 1,000 years or 2,000 years. So Gemara is asking a kasha. Now bear in mind that the Gemara just finished saying that once tzaddik can come back to life, they're not going back to dirt. They're going to live forever. And now we're saying that there's a period of 1,000 years that the world's going to be destroyed.
By the
it sounds like it. How could you reconcile the two things?
By the first sikhias and mason, is the world going to change? Are people going to change? Is society going to be different?
No. The early one.
Yeah.
But then after that,
so
by this year 6,000.
So the Siddiqui are going to have to learn.
Which is a problem. They're going
to
have a body. They're going to have a physical body.
They're going to have a physical body, but they're also going to see all
Kain is
gonna
eat.
What happened. And
no, by that time, it's all going to be good.
Oh, but so it will change. I mean,
not the nature of things, and people are going to make the right choices. Anyone alive by that time is going to be making the right choices, either because they realize the truth or because they're just too scared to do anything different. There's no more Bechira then. It's gone. It's all over.
And how do you get rewarded?
You don't. This is the stage which brings us to the reward for the time before that. There's not much reward for people that do mitzvah from that time. I think I told you, the Chofetz Chaim said, we daven so much for that time period, why are we davening? It's like davening to die, because once you get to that time, you don't get, anything you do doesn't make a difference anymore. So why would you want that? It's a kasha on the Chofetz Chaim's level, I don't know if any of us would have asked this question. But this is it.
He's already living a life as a good Jew.
We do it because we want a chance to do tshuva. The longer the better. I don't want to die like this. Does anybody want to die like we are today? But the Chofetz Chaim is saying you're davening for a time that you don't get reward for. Why would you die for a time when you can't accomplish anything? The Chofetz Chaim answers, we're not davening for our own sakes. For us, it's better not. We're davening because that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is not dragged through the gutter anymore. And I will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's stepped on. So we want to daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covered, but for our own personal benefit, our own personal fortune, it's better not to have that. It's Chofetz Chaim. Hell. That gives you an insight on what the Chofetz Chaim was. So the Gemara said before that tzaddikim are not going to die, they're going to keep going. Once they come back to life, they don't go back to dead. And then it says the world's going to be destroyed. It's a problem. Dr. Gemara. So Shenemer, V'nitzke Hashem levad b'yemahu. Only Hashem is going to be alive. V'mat tzaddikim ayin aysen. What are tzaddikim going to do? What are tzaddikim going to do in a world that only Hashem is there, that's destroyed? What are they going to do? The Gemara answers, it's no problem. Until now you got... HaKadosh Baruch Hu Islam Knafayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make them wings. This answers the question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make them wings. Kinesharim, they're going to be like... A nesher is commonly translated as an eagle. I've heard that it could be a hawk. It's a bird, it's the highest flying bird. If an eagle does it for you, let it be an eagle. If it's a hawk, be a hawk. It's the bird that flies the highest. No bird could attack it from above. That's a nest. That's the definition of a nest. It carries its young on its back because you can't.
Is this literal or is this?
The Hashem's going to make wings for like eagles. V'shatma p'nei mayim, and we're going to soar. We're going to soar over the water.
Because we have airplanes now that do that also. I mean, not to. I'm being serious. Not to make a joke. That won't do anything.
The world is destroyed.
Oh, this is when the world is destroyed. Okay.
How are wings going to help us survive in a destroyed world?
What difference would that make anyway?
If you need a ride that is not literal.
You have one already.
You have one. When I say it's not literal, I mean literal according to the way we view literal.
Yeah.
It's very literal. But literal the way we view literal, it's not literal. Shenamar, the Gemara is a pasuk. Al kein lo nira. Therefore, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. Behemer oritz. When a kodesh behemer means tamura. Tamura means to make an exchange. Kodesh Baruch is going to make an exchange. He's going to take our world away, and he's going to replace it with another world. So I'm not afraid when this exchange takes place. B'mayit harim, mountains are going to dissipate. B'lev yamim, in the hearts of the seas. I'm not scared. So the Gemara is saying, why am I not scared? Because I'm going to have wings. I'm not scared. It reminds me of Icarus. B'shem etem yesh tam tzar, maybe you think it's going to hurt. They'll survive, but there'll be pain. Those that they kaveh is like kaveh al Hashem chazak b'yam tzibecha. They seek out the Lord. They await Him. They anticipate Him. They look forward to Him. The ones that they anticipate a Kadosh Baruch and look forward to Him, yachlifu kayach. They're going to have renewed vigor. They'll lose their kayach. Did you ever play a video game in God mode? You're getting shot and the power goes down. It does go down. Right before it hits the bottom, all of a sudden you get 100% back. Excuse me for the analogy. That means that you'll expend energy, but you get constant renewal, constant upgrades, constant power packs. Yalu Abik and Hashem, they're going to lift up their limbs like eagles. The Pasuk says they're going to soar like eagles. It's a Pasuk. This is not a Gemara or a Medrash. It's a Pasuk. That they're going to have wings like eagles. Let you go. Your roots are going to run. Let you go. They're not going to become worn out. Yoko, they're going to travel. They're going to move. Lay off, or they won't become tired.
That's it.
That's it.
It's a very
strong Gemara here. It's a very, very difficult Gemara. Very strong Gemara. Gemara really requires an infusion of blood to understand it. Let's understand something first. We've discussed this before. This world is a fraud. I mean, especially, I mentioned this before in an earlier show, so this world's a fraud. And the fraud is perpetrated by all kinds of things. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the mechanism for us to delude ourselves. He did. crux of the fraud. The nakuda, the point that the fraud all revolves around, is that we could sustain ourselves. That we're self-sustaining creatures. And we truly believe this. At some level, we all believe this. That we sustain ourselves. This is like our biggest insight in life. We sustain ourselves. And, you know, we believe this in different proportions. Everyone has their own level in which they believe this to be true. But, you know, you go to work, you work hard, you advance, you achieve some type of prominence, you bring home the bacon, I mean, you bring home the child. You're earning, you know, this six-figure salary, six figures. Give tzedakah. Give you tzedakah. Do you daf yom mishir? Do you truly believe that you had nothing to do with it? Do we truly believe that, you know, that we had nothing to do with it? Could a person honestly, you know, could a person honestly say he believes that it all came from a Kaddish Baruch Hu? Or do we believe that we made a living? I make a living. I did it. It was my business, my sharp business acumen. I'm a go-getter. I'm a team player. I make a living. I believe in God, and I believe that God, I want to be a good person. So I give money to charity. Of course, I like to give money to charities that honor me. Yeah, I'd like to have my name printed in the Ed book. I'd like to maybe be Ohev Torah. I don't learn much Torah, but I love it. I don't know, I love Torah. I like it when other people learn it, but I love it. An Ohev Torah award, a Tomek Torah. Do we really believe that we didn't do it? At best, we look at ourselves like we're partners. I did it with God together.
But without you putting in the effort, it wouldn't happen.
Yosef,
what
the level of Amunah that's expected of us, and I don't mean it's expected of you right now. If you want a goal to shoot for, then you make absolutely zero correlation between what you do and what you get. Moshe Steinberg, you've heard of him? When he was a young bach, he was a yeshiva in London. The yeshiva's name was Rav Schneider's yeshiva. They called it Rav Schneider's yeshiva because the yeshiva was Rav Schneider. Rav Moshe Steinberg was sent out to collect money for the yeshiva. He was a bach. He said this himself. He wasn't matzliach. He came back with very little. Very little. I mean, he said it more than I said. He said, I didn't know then how to collect money, and I don't know now how to collect money. Came back without too much. It was a disappointment. He said, some while later, I don't remember exactly how long later, it must have been close by, the Rosh Hashiva comes over to him and gives him a big Yashakeh. He said, why? He said, the Yeshiva just got a very sizable donation from someone. So I'm giving you a Yashakeah. So he said, was it from someone that I approached? He said, no. You had nothing, you know, you had no connection with this person. So why is the Rebbe giving you a Yashakeah? He said, you think that when you go out to Shinar money, then we make the money? A Kaddish Baruch Hu gives us the money. It's just that he expects us to do something. You did something. You did something. So Hashem sent us the money. What's the kasher? What's the connection between, you know, you have to get the money dafka from the one that you went to? It doesn't come from him, it comes from a Kaddish Baruch. That's the level of amunah that's expected from us. A Kaddish Baruch who gives us what we need. He's going to give it to us, guaranteed. A Kaddish Baruch who wants us to work. No one says that the work has to be connected to what Hashem gives us. If it seems to appear that way, that's part of the mask. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yeah, it's almost like a Kaddish Baruch Hu sets up a gadget. Yeah? That you push a button. And then obviously you get whacked in the back. And every time you push the button, you get whacked in the back. And the timing is perfect. Or you get whacked in the head, or I don't know. The timing is perfect. Any stimulus that you want, stimulus response. This is like Skinner, you know, B.F. Skinner, he researched the stimulus response. He worked with dogs and electric shocks, you know. You push it, something happens. So you do it enough times, you're scientific about it, you do it enough times, that you determine that this obviously, you can't, you know, you don't open it up, but this machine has some circuitry inside. When you press it, you're causing some kind of electromagnetic waves to go along the wires, and it's, you know, and it produces this response. In reality, the guy hires us, he hires some guy for $2 an hour, and he says, you know, he's hiding behind something. He said, when you see you had to push the button, you hit him. And he, you know, he interviewed 1,000 people until he got people with perfect reflexes, and you hit him. So there's no correlation whatsoever between you pushing the button and getting hit. But it looks like it. And the guy doesn't have to hit you. He's doing it because he's getting paid to hit you. That's the level of Amunah, you know. We do the Hishtadlus. We go to work. We do our team player. We rise to the top. We're corporate management. And then the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I see that you're trying. I'm going to give you a check. Because we live in this world, we live in that world. So then the Kadosh Baruch Hu is hiding. We think that we're self-sufficient. And I'm extending this to everything. We feed ourselves, you know, and we create ourselves. I'm created. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here because I'm here. We're here because we're here, you know. Yeah. And it's like, there's a very, very, very strong impression in the world that we are ourselves, we're guaranteed, our existence is guaranteed, we're going to exist from, you know, continued existence from one minute to the other because I'm here, so why should I go away? And we put the seed in, and we water it, and we make it grow, because of course it grows because I talk to my plant. My plant grows because I talk to it. You ever talk to your plants?
Mm-hmm.
I talk to my plants, they grow. I make it grow. And I'm going to plant wheat. Wheat's going to grow up. I plant wheat, barley's not going to grow up because I planted wheat. This is Eilam Hazeh. And the truth is that it's all wrong. It's all, it appears that way. Kadosh Baruch Hu is making it happen every single moment. You put the seed in, Kadosh Baruch Hu, it wouldn't grow, it would die. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu goes to the seed and the Kadosh Baruch Hu makes it grow. We do absolutely nothing. It's not a partnership. We do nothing. Kadosh, okay? Kadosh, the word Kadosh, we define as holy, that is an inexact translation. To be charitable, that's an inexact translation. Kadosh means total separation. Kadosh means, you know, we usually use the word Kadosh for Ruchnis. Kadosh means zero Gashmis. There's nothing to, you know, you have, let's use the soul, for example. There is nothing that could be more diametrically opposed. The other side, extreme, the other side, not the other side of the spectrum. It doesn't exist within the spectrum of the body as the soul. The soul and the body, there is no common ground between them. And that's why we make a bracha of Rafei Kolbasim Afli L'Hasais. Because there's no way, there's no conceivable way that the body and the soul could join together. You need common ground to join things together. You learned that in chemistry. You need the extra proton to hook with the neutron, you know, the neutron. You need common ground. Cohesiveness because of common ground. There isn't any. That's Kaddish. People that come back to Tchiyas HaMeisim. People that come back for Tchiyas HaMeisim. Especially the ones that come back with Tchiyas HaMeisim before their time. That's because even when they're in this world and they had a body, but they were cognizant of the fact that this body this body is not, you know, this body, which has the, this body appears like it's independent. This body appears like it can take the credit. This body appears like it's guaranteed. This body has this Olam Hazeh thing is, that's just appearances. But in the future, in the Tchias HaMeisim, the body's going to change. The body's going to change. The body of Tchias HaMeisim is going to change. And the body of Tchias HaMeisim is going to change into something, and don't ask me to describe it, because I can't, and nobody could. The body of Tchias HaMeisim is going to change into something. The one thing I can tell you about this body, it's going to be something that is very clear, that its very existence in life is from a Kaddish Baruch Hu directly. So if you can imagine, if you can't.
We're not already.
We don't see it. Our body has the, gives off the impression that it's not from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But the body of Tchias HaMeisim is going to be very clear
to everybody,
to ourselves, that this the constant existence of this body is due to Kaddish Baruch Hu constantly willing it to be exist.
It's going to look different, or it's going to be perceived differently.
The mask is going to come off. Whatever that means. That means it's going to. You're on a muscle. It's not a good muscle, but it's the best I could do. It's like when you see Nebuch, someone that was in an accident and they suffered head trauma and multiple organ failure, that they have wires and tubes everywhere. They have an iron lung, anything for them. They have a dialysis machine doing the work of the kidneys. They have a heart lung machine.
Respirator.
They've got all, you know, they've got an oscilloscope, and it's just like, it's the biggest Nebuch in the world. You see that? What do you see? This person has no existence from himself. The body of Tchias HaMeisim, it's going to be very clear that the existence comes from the outside, from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. There's Olam Hazeh, that's until the year 6000. There's Olam Haba, that starts in the year 7001, that's the eighth millennium. And then there's a transition period. The Gemara is saying that a tzaddik, that his whole life, he lived his life, that he realized his body is not what it looks like. Hashem says, you deserve the right to come back with your body in this world. And then comes Tchias HaMeisim. You're going to live forever. But how could someone with a body of this world survive in a period of time when anything that you need to sustain life is not going to be there? In these 1,000 years, there's not going to be food, there's not going to be oxygen, there's not going to be anything. Carl, how do you reconcile this? You have a body. And Zakta Gemara, Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to make the body go through a process where the body itself is going to live off other things. When those 1,000 years when the world's going to be in a state of destruction, that means the way we know it, the food is going to be destroyed and the trees and the plants, you know. But there's going to be something in place of it. We don't know what it is. Whatever's in place of it is not going to be physical. So Hashem is going to transform the body, that the body is going to be able to survive. That's wings. What do wings do? Wings keep a bird away from the ground. That's what wings do. Hashem is going to take their body and he's going to change their body, that their body is going to be away from the ground. What does it mean, away from the ground? It's not going to be anything physical.
Dovi.
And it says it's going to do the wings, it's not going to be anything physical. Alright, we have more, but I think they want to stop here. You understand everything until now? Is it clear?
Is this referring to the set to Mashiach's time?
Boy,
that's Mashiach's time.
Mashiach's time is totally natural. I know, but their body doesn't have to change then until after Mashiach.
Right.
After Mashiach? Yeah.
After
Mashiach to be desolate for how many years?
6,001 to 7,000.
6,001.
Yeah.
Good.
Mashiach
said
6,000 to 7,000.
How much is a lot?
So that means 7 to 8 is going to be destroyed.
It's about 30.
What does that mean? Oh, good.
It differs by like 2 shek at most.
You get them to call you back.
Oh shit.
think I'm going to the top of the line.
Okay, but here. You gotta go to the table.